It's almost midnight, shortly after the close of our last episode. And already the carefully planted story of Mrs. Barclay's fatal accident is being circulated. As you know, Suzanne Barclay's mother was not in an accident. Perry Mason staged the entire affair to force Suzanne out of hiding. And as you also know, Mason's bold action is justified. For not only does breaking the crime syndicate depend on information Suzanne can give him, but the girl's very life depends on Mason's finding her before she's located by the man Mason knows only as Gus. We'll hear what Gus is doing in a few moments. First, as Mason drives Mrs. Barclay to Della Street's apartment building.
Why don't you look inside the lobby, Della, I'll stay with Mrs. Barclay.
Okay, Chief.
And listen, if the coast is clear, we'll take Mrs. Barclay right up to your apartment.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh. Harry, come here.
What is it, Della?
Look through the door. The young man sitting on the other side of the lobby. Do you recognize him?
No.
He's the district attorney's new assistant. His name is, Abonides. He winked at me.
He
winked at me when you tried the Taylor case, remember?
He didn't wink at me.
Why is he here at this time of night?
Maybe he's waiting to get a good wink at
him. Come on.
Well, go in and see, Della. He is waiting. Well, go see.
Okay.
Miss Street?
Oh, why, it's Mr. Bonadies. Well, fancy meeting you here.
You're looking very well indeed, Miss Street.
Thank you. And how are you, Mr. Bonadies? And how's the district attorney?
Oh, Mr. Raft is always in good health. Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Raft has a cold.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, good night, Mr. Bonadies.
Just a moment, Miss Street. I've been waiting to see you. I've waited for several hours.
Why, Mr. Bonadies?
Please don't misunderstand me. It isn't a personal matter.
Official business?
Well, semi-official. Mr. Raft wants to contact Mr. Mason, your employer.
Yes, I know the Mason you mean.
You know where Mr. Raft can reach him?
Mr. Raft must feel it's very important.
If Mr. Raft feels it's important, it is important. Where can he reach Mr. Mason?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Bonadies.
Before you tell me you don't know, Miss Street, I'll tell you just how important it is. The district attorney has a duty to keep his eye on developments. Also, Mr. Donald Wallace, the insurance executive, is a personal friend of the district attorney's. I'm speaking of Mr. Wallace, whose sister is Mrs. Barclay. You know the Wallace I mean, Miss Street?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Rapp succeeded in worming certain information out. Well, that is, Mr. Wallace told Mr. Rapp certain things. For example, Mr. Rapp knows that Perry Mason staged a phony accident tonight. Mr. Rapp knows that Mrs. Barclay isn't dead at all.
Why don't you go ahead and tell me what the district attorney wants?
Well, as I say, the district attorney has certain duties.
And skip the double talk, Mr. Bonadies.
Well, Mr. Rapp is concerned and even a little hurt because Mr. Mason didn't consult him.
Oh.
Mason could have used Mr. Rapp's experience and brilliant intelligence.
In other words, Mr. Rapp wants to be dealt in.
Well, not officially, you understand. Mr. Rapp can't take part officially unless Mason's scheme works.
I understand, but Rapp's ready to jump on the bandwagon in case it does.
Well, I wouldn't put it just that way. How
well, I'll give Mr. Mason your message.
Oh, good, good. Mr. Rapp is waiting for Mason's call.
Now?
Of course. Miss Street, are you going to say that Mason didn't leave a phone number with his secretary?
Mm-hmm. No phone number.
Mr. Rapp is going to be awfully disappointed.
Well, I'm terribly sorry.
He's going to be disappointed with me, too.
Well, I wish I could help Mr. Bonadies.
Any chance you'll see him tonight?
Why, Mr. Bonadies, it's almost midnight.
Yes, I know. I've been watching the clock for several hours. Well, good night, Miss Street.
Good night, Mr. Bonadies.
Well, he was waiting for you.
I'll say he was. Is he gone?
Yes, he left in a cab. What did he want?
I'll tell you when we get Mrs. Barclay inside.
Meanwhile, in another part of the city, a district of narrow side streets and cluttered alleys, Gus Jansen enters a shabby rooming house. goes up one flight of stairs.
Mr. Jansen.
When are you going to move out of this dump, Albert?
I've always lived here, Mr. Jansen.
It's nothing but a rat trap. You make enough dough to live in a better place?
Nix, Mr. Jansen. I got company.
Hello?
This is Miss Mildred Duval.
I didn't get your friend's name, Albert.
I've been fixing Mildred's radio.
Radio?
Yes, sir. Mildred just moved in the house.
That's right. And I didn't know anybody to fix my radio until Albert said he could fix it. Albert's real smart.
Mildred. I'm only smart about fixing things.
I think you're nice to fix my radio, especially at this time of night. I guess you think it's funny I asked him to fix my radio at this time of night, but I work till 11. I'm an usher at the Lyric Movie Theater.
Okay, now usher it out of here.
Huh?
I said beat it, get lost.
Well, of all the... Are you going to let him talk to me like that?
Take it easy, Mr. Jensen. She'll go out.
Is that all you're going to do?
He's here on business, Mildred. I'm awful sorry.
Well, give me my radio and I'll leave you gentlemen alone.
No, Mildred, please let me fix it.
After the way you let him talk to me.
Oh, please, Mildred, I like to fix things. I'll fix it good as new and you can have it in the morning. Please, Mildred.
Well, I don't know.
Thanks, Mildred. Thanks an awful lot. You see how good I fix it. Good night, Mildred.
Good night, Albert. Good night, mister.
You want to sit down, Mr. Jansen?
No, not in this dump.
Then excuse me, I'm going to sit down at the table. I'm going to fix Mildred's radio.
Now listen, put that down and pay attention to me.
I'll listen. I can listen better when my hands are busy. Yeah, I'm going to fix her radio because I promise her. You didn't have to talk rough to Mildred, Mr. Jansen. I like Mildred.
Forgive my interference in your love life.
Oh, she ain't in love with me, Mr. Jansen. But we are friends. I ain't got many friends. What is it?
The police have been checking me.
You know why, Mr. Jansen?
I have an idea. Never mind that. Here's what you have to understand. I think Gordy's behind it.
Gordy Weber, Mr. Jansen?
Yeah. So I need Junior.
Well, Junior's up in Smithville.
Yeah, where he's waiting for Suzanne Barclay to show. So you go up there and take over in Junior's place.
Tonight, Mr. Jansen? I promised to fix Mildred's radio.
Forget the radio. Go up and take over for Junior and send him back here.
It'll only take me a minute to fix Mildred's radio. Yeah. You see, Mr. Jansen? Almost got it fixed. Please, Mr. Jansen. I want to make friends with Mildred.
Look, I've told you for the last time, Albert.
And here's another.
Now do what I said.
Authorities have disclosed the death of Mrs. Susan Barclay, prominent clubwoman and philanthropist, under mysterious circumstances. At the same time, it was revealed that Mrs. Barclay's daughter, Suzanne, has been missing for several months.
Never mind the radio.
Mr. Jansen.
Now quit crying about that radio.
Mr. Jansen, didn't you hear him?
What?
The announcer says Mrs. Barclay's dead. He says...
You heard that?
Yes, sir. Susan Barclay's mother...
Well, get it back, Albert. Turn it in.
I can't. You broke it up into little pieces.
Oh, then go out and get the papers.
You told me to go to Smithville.
No, I'm telling you to get the papers. Hurry, Albert. Get all the early editions you can find.
Of course, Perry Mason knows. Gus will learn of Mrs. Barclay's supposed death. Mason has taken every precaution to make certain Gus isn't made suspicious. But I can promise a startling development in the immediate future. So by...